Good morning, Chair. Good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Peacock.
How are you, Chair?
It's raining and cold in Cape Town.
I'm here already. I'm in Cape Town.
Oh, wonderful. We can have coffee.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning. How are you? Are you here already?
Yeah.
Bring to us a brief adjust this coat. Honorable members, a number of you would like to leave early because of the flights to Cape Town, and you all have to be in the house tomorrow. Honorable Deputy Minister, are you here already? Good morning.
Morning, leadership. I'm here. Morning.
In Cape
Town. Everybody.
But why
no,
do you
no, no, report? I will report when I land. I'm only landing at, I think, 5 o'clock. Okay.
So we're all having to take flights to come to Cape Town?
Yeah.
All right, we're a minute
and
away.
Flights are
scarce, eh?
Very, 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 very scarce. Very scarce.
If you miss your flight, you're not going to get another flight. You know that?
Yeah, you are right.
So there are very few flights coming to Cape Town, and everybody has to come. So, honorable members, and you have to be here probably by 10 o'clock, since you still have to go through the screening, and there'll be a long list for you, a long queue for you to be screened. So, honorable members, good morning, honorable DM. We can adopt the agenda and then we'll get the apologies. I'd also like to inquire if we have a quorum. Babawa will then indicate to us if there is a quorum. I'm not going to waste time today. We are not. Good morning, General Sithole and your team. All the honorable members, good morning. And thank you very much for joining us. I'm not going to be giving a long introductory remarks, since you all understand that we have 3 votes to cover today, and honorable members would be leaving early, which would then be leaving us without a quorum. Babawa, could you flag the agenda, please?
Chair, you're muted.
Yes, sorry. We have the adoption of the agenda, and then after we'll do the apologies, the briefing by SAPS on the quarterly reports, quarter 2, 3, and 4. It's a very straightforward agenda. The honorable members have been complaining quite a bit, so I cannot adhere to all the complaints and accede to all the requests, but as you can notice, the meetings will be tightly managed and tightly controlled. On each report, I'll give you one set of questions to ask, and you are the ones who do not want the meetings to last too long, so we'll stick within our time, and we'll also have to ensure that the meeting happens while we have a quorum. General Sithole and your team, there's been, again, I repeat, there's been complaints about the presentations being too long. We have to do the presentations because these are live streamed, and the members of the public have the right to view the presentations. There were complaints that we do not need these presentations. I've explained to members that indeed we have to do these presentations because these meetings are open meetings for the sake of transparency. The public has to see the inputs which are done by the department, by SAPS and on the various reports. Could you mute your mics now, please? agenda. I put the agenda to you for adoption. Could I have a proposal for adoption of the agenda?
Good morning, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Honourable Peacock moves for the adoption of the agenda.
Good morning, Chairperson. Honourable Linda Moss second it.
Honourable Linda Moss has seconded the agenda. The agenda is adopted. Babawa, could you give us the apologies, please?
Morning, Chair. I received 4 apologies for today's meeting from Honourable Teblanche, Dr. Funevald, Minister. Rev. Meshaw will leave the meeting early, and Honourable Molekwa.
Honourable members, there you have the apologies. Do we have a quorum, Babawa?
Yes, Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Honourable members. We have a quorum that takes us to the next matter for today. That is the reports, quarter 2, 3, and 4. Honourable Minister has apologized. Minister was in the meeting yesterday. I do not want to, and I'm not going to accept any complaints about the Minister not being here today. We'll immediately start with you, Honourable Deputy Minister, and you will introduce the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to you and good morning to honourable members and to the delegation from
Honourable Deputy Minister, sorry for interrupting you. Could we see your beautiful face today, please?
Oh, okay, Chair. I hope it will respond. I know it did.
No, you look handsome today. Thank you very
Chair. Thank you for the compliment, Chair. Thank you. I was saying that the delegation is led by the National Commissioner, who will introduce the team and ask General Rabi or whoever he will delegate to make a presentation. And I would like to appeal to the National Commissioner that as we present, let's present the full detail, but let's try to summarize so that we allow members the opportunity to ask relevant questions, but without denying them the full content of what we are presenting through you, Chair, if you may allow. We allow the National Commissioner to introduce the delegation and immediately start with the presentation through you, Chair.
I also before you start, I also having the Chief Whips in the house and Honourable Sheikh Imam, that's what he's saying. He is apologising. He is here in the meeting. Honourable Sheikh Imam, are you saying that you're leaving early?
Chair, I'll be in and out. I'll go to the Chief Whips, the health, just to elect a chair, and I'll be back again. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Sheikh Imam?
Can you get it's Chair? Yes, I'll go to the Chief Whoops and the Health, which is electing a chairperson, and I'll be back in the police committee as well. So I'm here at the moment.
Thank
I'll be out and back again.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning. Thank you very much, Honourable Sheikh Imam. Good morning, General Sotole. You may introduce your team and start the presentation. Allow General, I'm not sure, General Sotole, who will do your presentation. You will introduce the person. Welcome, General Sotole. The floor is yours.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Deputy Minister.
There's an interjection from members, Chair. That's why General Sotole didn't come in.
Chairperson, can you hear me? Chairperson, can you hear me? Chairperson?
Chair, Honorable Shembeni, want to speak? Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to quickly to ask if Whip, can you assist me here, if you hear me? I did not get the presentation. I don't know whether it's myself, other members did get.
Well,
it was that did other members.
My apologies, it's raining in Cape Town, and I lost you for a moment. So I'm back online. Could you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir.
Okay, you may continue. Honorable Shembeni, I saw you on. Deputy Minister, I'm sorry, could you repeat? I lost connectivity.
No, I was saying that General Sithole couldn't come in because one honorable member was interjecting, wanting to raise an issue which he did in your absence, Honorable Shembeni, that he didn't receive the presentation. So Honorable Mapato was trying to respond to that matter when you connected.
Babawa, could you please give me an explanation? Thank you, DM. Babawa, can you please give me an explanation? Shembeni says he did not receive the presentations.
I will check, Chair. I send all the presentations to the members on Saturday. I got the presentation from staff on Saturday morning, so I emailed it to the members on Saturday.
Honourable members, we send your presentations early. We also send you the times of the meetings early. If you do not have your presentations, could you please call Babawa? By now, you should have Babawa's number. Please do not wait until we have the meeting and come to the meeting to complain. Members do not read their documents. Yesterday, it was very clear that members did not read the terms of reference. They were asking questions which were, in fact, in the draft terms of reference. I'm not going to entertain your questions about not receiving documents. It's your responsibility to call the staff and indicate that you do not have documents. These documents were emailed to us on Saturday. This is Wednesday today. If by Monday you did not receive your documents, it's your responsibility to call Babawa to indicate that you have not received documents. This is quite unacceptable. Members have to take responsibility. You send us confusion about you not knowing about the times of the meeting. Somehow you send us messages that the meetings have been cancelled. You do not read your messages. SMS messages have been sent to you, yet you are confused about the time. Honorable members, it has come to the staff, and the staff has complained about members who do not read their messages. And then they would like to blame the chairperson and blame the staff. This is no longer going to be allowed in this meeting. A national commissioner, you may start. My apologies for this.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. Morning, Deputy Minister, and members of the team. Honorable Chair, just quickly introducing the team in attendance. We've got Lieutenant General Lydia, the National Head of DPCI. We've got Lieutenant General Vuma, the Deputy National Commissioner for Corporate Support Services. Lieutenant General Masemula, the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing. Lieutenant General Dimbane, the Chief Financial Officer. Lieutenant General Reid, Divisional Commissioner Supply Chain. Lieutenant General Sintumule, Divisional Commissioner Crime Detection. Lieutenant General Nsia, Divisional Commissioner Human Resource. Lieutenant General Zulu, Divisional Commissioner Human Resource Development. Lieutenant General Khan, Divisional Commissioner Legal Services. Lieutenant General Mohlala, Divisional Commissioner, Visible Policing and Operations. Lieutenant General Shihlabane, Divisional Commissioner, Protection and Security Services. Lieutenant General Jacobs, Divisional Commissioner, Inspectorate. Lieutenant General Matagata, Divisional Commissioner, Crime Intelligence. Major General Mavundla, Division Technology Management Services. Major General
Peters, Component Head, Corporate Communication and Liaison. Major General Ravi, Component Head, Strategic Management. Brigadier Malahlela, Section Head, Executive Secretariat, Office of the National Commissioner. And Colonel KP Stan, Parliamentary Services. Chair, I think we have taken note of the direction and request from the committee with regard to the lengthiness of the presentations. But what we're going to do, Chair, the presenters are directed to rather explain the slides and not read them. And some other times it may not be necessary for us to go through all the details of the slides. Certain slides can just be explained and we move forward. And further to this, Chair, we are also going to then make sure that we summarize the presentations as much as possible so that we can even go to an extent of keeping addendum information for the honorable members, but just present a strategic picture. For today, Chair, our presentation is going to be led by Major General Leon Rabi. With your permission, I can then give him the floor. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Rabi.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable members of the committee, our Honourable Deputy Minister and National Commissioner and the Senior Management of SAPS. Honourable Chair, the purpose of the presentation is to brief the committee on the end result, the fourth quarter of the previous financial year by the South African Police Service. We will first focus on the financial results. I will hand over, Chair, with your permission, to General Dimpane at that point to take us through the financial results, and then I will deal with the executive summary as far as the performance is concerned. Honourable Chair will note that we have also included detailed graphs on each one of the indicators, but we will not be presenting that. It's just for the information of the committee. As indicated, we will focus only on the executive summary that will give an indication of those targets achieved and those not. Honourable Chair, with your permission, I will then hand over to General Dimpane to do the first part of the presentation that includes the financial results. Thank you, Chair.
You may continue. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee, the Deputy Minister of Police, National Commissioner and Senior Management of SAPS. Honourable Chairperson, the first slide will speak to the financial performance for the period end of March, which is depicted in our income statement. Chairperson, these are unaudited results. The audit is in its concluding stages. In terms of the income statement, Honourable Chair, as at the end of March, we had voted funds, 99.560 billion that was allocated to the vote police. As at the end of the financial year, we had spent 95.483 billion of those funds. There was a net surplus of 4 billion. We also had revenue that was collected, 672.50 million. That was surrendered to Treasury. As at the end of the financial year, the voted fund spent was 95.9%. In terms of the next slide, Chair, we are indicating expenditure analysis. Past expenditure for multiple years are utilized to perform an expenditure analysis and to project anticipated baseline expenditure in a financial year, Chair. The next slide, Chair, is a graph or pie that indicates the total spending for the vote per quarter for 2021 financial year. So for second quarter, we had spent 22.5%, third quarter 24.2%, with the last quarter at 25.1% spending. The next slide is just a comparison of the previous financial year. The similar trend in terms of total spending for the vote per quarter when you compare to the 1920 financial year. The next slide, Chair, we are indicating program spending amount spent at the end of the second, third, as well as fourth quarter. For program one, Chair, in terms of the allocation, we had 19 billion. As at the end of the second quarter, there was a 46% overall spending for the vote. As at the third quarter, there was a 70.8% spending for the vote, with the fourth quarter at 95.9% spending for the vote. In terms of the next slide, Chair, this is just program quarterly spending for the 2021 financial year per program, indicating similar trends when you compare from program 1 up to program 5, chairperson key spending trends for the vote. The program was reasonably in line with the linear benchmark. In terms of the next slide, Chair, this is just an overview of spending performance as per economic level. The total expenditure, as we indicated, for the financial year amounted to 95.483 billion, which represented a spending rate of 95%. An amount of 4 million remained for the vote allocation for the financial year, of which 79.3% comprised of funding earmarked and specifically allocated, which implied that the department could not use these funds for any other purpose than those appropriated for. In addition, spending performance on goods and services comprised of 96.9% of the allocated budget for this category of expenditure, should the earmarked and specifically appropriated funding be exceeded. In general, Chairperson, this particular financial year, overall spending performance was materially affected by COVID-19 lockdown regulations and the unforeseen and avoidable nature of the pandemic that essentially impacted on the extent to which personnel movement were restricted. We would indicate on the next slide, Chairperson, in terms of the overall overview of spending performance per program. Program 1, 3, 4, and 5 were essentially affected by COVID-19 lockdown regulations. In terms of program 2, which is visible policy, allocation of baseline reprioritization towards COVID-19 expenditure. This was required from SAPS. An additional funding of 3.7 billion was allocated. There was also a rollover funding for PPEs and baseline reductions during adjustment estimates. Process were provided for within this particular program check. In terms of the next slide, overview of spending performance, due to the spending performance realizing a surplus towards the year end in each one of the programs, no variant approvals were required from the accounting officer for this financial year. Subsequent to an evaluation of the balances on the vote at the year end, a submission to National Treasury was made to request for funds to be rolled over, essentially to provide for costs associated with COVID-19, since no additional funding was appropriated for this purpose in the 2021-22 financial year. The next slide, Chair, is just a comparison of monthly spending with previous financial years. These are accumulated results. I will not go through. It's just an indication of the trend per financial year, starting from 2017 to 2021. In the next slide, Chair, we have our departmental receipts or revenue collected for the National Revenue Fund. During the year was 672.450 million. This was indicated on note 2 on our financial statement. This is made up of sale of goods and services produced by the department. We also had fines, penalties and forfeits to the value of 86.282 million. Interest received via corporate banks was 3 million. And sale of capital assets were 101.533 million, with transactions in assets and liabilities to an amount of 130.201 million. This was due to mainly the recovery of debt. In terms of program 1, Chair, this slide is indicating the program with its sub-programs. There was a total spending of 98.4%. This is 19 billion that was allocated, actual spending as at March at 18.702 billion in this regard. In terms of program 2, visible policing, with its sub-programs, Chairperson, the total spending was 95%. Allocation was 53.401 billion. As at 31 March 2021, 50.376 billion was spent. The expenditure drivers are indicated underneath the table check. In terms of program 3, which is detective, with its sub-programs, 19.688 billion was allocated as at the end of March 2021, 18.691 billion was spent, which is a 94.9%. The expenditure drivers are indicated below. Program 4, Chairperson Crime Intelligence, with its sub-programs, 4.2 billion was allocated as at 31 March 2021, 4.129 billion was spent, which represents 98.3%. The expenditure drivers are indicated below. This particular program excludes the Secret Service account. In terms of Program 5, Protection and Security Services, which with its sub-programs, 3.263 billion was allocated as at the end of March, 3.222 billion was spent, which represents 98.7%. Expenditure drivers are indicated below, Chairperson. Less overtime and subsistence travel expenditure was experienced as compared to previous financial years due to restrictions in terms of movement. These are the financial results for quarter 2, 3, and 4, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, General Rabi, you may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, as indicated, we will now deal with the executive summary as far as the performance is concerned. Starting from slide 22 to slide 41, that is the portion that we will focus on. The honorable members of the committee will note from slide 42 onwards, we have detailed graphs giving the quarterly performance of each one of the indicators, but that is for the information of the committee. We will not specifically focus on that. As far as the indicators are concerned, Chair, we are measuring a total of 95, of which we achieved 70 or 73% at the end of the financial year. If one look at the graph of the respective programs, you will note that Program 1, the support environment, achieved 17 targets, 4 not achieved. Program 2, visible the policing environment, achieved 19 of the targets, 7 not achieved. Program 3, our investigative environment and forensics, 18 targets achieved, 11 not achieved. And in Program 4, the crime intelligence, 9 achieved, 3 not achieved. And Program 5, protection and security services, the 7 targets were achieved. As far as the individual, what we've done, Jay, we'll note that we will first focus on the areas where we did achieve the targets and then move to, in that specific program, move to the areas where we did not achieve the target. We have lost a total of 566 firearms. That is less than the target at 605, less than the previous financial year. We have procured the conversion of 15 targeted mobile contact points for the financial year, and 12 were delivered by the end, by the end of March 2021. As far as the digital radio communication sites are concerned, nothing was achieved in quarter four, but we achieved the annual target in quarter three already, and we actually modernized 2 more than what we were planning for and standing on 5. As far as the respective training programs, Chair, are concerned, you will note that in terms of all of them, we are setting a target of declaring 97% of the learners assessed and declared competent. All the training programs that are listed, crime prevention, crimes against women and children, investigation, public order policing, forensic science, crime intelligence, and cyber crime, we did achieve more than a 97% number of members assessed and declared competent, although the numbers were influenced by COVID-19. As far as our ethics and integrity awareness program is concerned, we did achieve our targets in terms of the different stages of the ethics program. I put recommendations in the fourth quarter. We dealt with a total of 46, of which 47 were dealt with within the targeted period of 60 calendar days, actually 90%. As far as the annual result is concerned, we dealt with a total of 123, of which 117 were finalized within the 60 calendar days, so there we did achieve the target. We had no incidents of unauthorized expenditure reported in the fourth quarter, and that is applicable to the whole year. Irregular expenditure decreased in the fourth quarter compared to the previous financial year. We set a target of a reduction of 5%. We actually did achieve a reduction, an annual reduction compared to the previous financial year. So there we did achieve our target. Our corporate governance framework that was developed and submitted to the accounting officer for signature. We did complete our 8 planned forensic investigations that were planned for the year, and we've conducted a total of 308 inspections by inspectorate. That is 33% more than the planned 231, and there were specific requests for additional inspections as it has been highlighted. As when we're looking at the non-achievement of targets within program one, say the first one that is noted is our police stations. We targeted two. Two police stations were not completed for the reasons as it is stipulated. Our upgrading of our network communication infrastructure sites, we planned 65, of which we only completed 15 due to problems experienced from the CETA environment in terms of delays from that specific environment. Although there was an initial decrease in the number of fruitless and wasteful expenditure during the first two quarters, we unfortunately experienced an increase in the third quarter, Honorable Chair, as a result of incidents that took place in the previous financial year that had to be taken into account. The audits, by the end of the financial year, we completed 108 audits out of the planned 134, so that we were standing at 80%, and the majority of those outstanding were completed after the end of the financial year. Moving to Program 2, Chet, the achievement of our targets, our liquor outlets, we have closed a total of 5,732, so that is 100% of those that has been identified. We initially set the target of 90. Contact crimes, notable reduction of 13.9% in 2021 compared to the previous financial year. Our target was 7.48%. Our contact crimes at our high crime weight stations reduced with 18.9%, as against a set target of 7.42%. Our escapes from police custody, we set a target to reduce it to less than 666. We ended up with 545, that is less. All our police stations, 1,155, were rendering victim-friendly services. The contact crime against women, we had a reduction of 9.4%. At 99.83 or 1,150 of our police stations do have functional community police forums. That is in line with the target. And we have initiated the Community in Blue concept in 9 provinces as part of our initial planning. The safer city framework, we have initialized it at 10 pilot stations. And then, Chair, we have a 100% achievement or response to various requests from the specialized environment in terms of crowd management. So all the incidents that were, all the incidents reported were responded to. In quarter four, we responded to 1,105 peaceful crowd management incidents and 709 unrest crowds. In medium risk deployments, the safe delivery of cargo, illegal mining operations, as indicated, we did respond to all the requests. And moving to our ports of entry, where we are using our movement control systems and enhanced movement control system for the screening of persons and goods, there we responded to all the hits that were identified in the system. All the profiled containers, vehicles, and cargo received at the ports of entry that were profiled were searched as per the specific operational procedure. Where we did not achieve the targets in Program 2, Honorable Chair, we have recovered a total of 2,160 firearms. We set a target of 4,225. We identified SAP's own firearms recovered. We set a target of 482. We recovered 424. And then the firearm-related targets, we give the reasons why those specific targets were not achieved, primarily due to COVID-19 restrictions. And then the finalization of applications for new firearm licenses was 21.363% in quarter four. and that is significantly lower, Chair, than the anticipated or planned target of 90% that had to be dealt with within 120 working days. And there, again, COVID-19 plays a role, as well as some of the systems that we are dependent on to issue the firearm licenses. We recovered a total of 29,402 stolen vehicles. Chair, that is 7,252 less than what we planned for. One of the categories of crime where we saw a reduction in the number of incidents reported, but unfortunately it was lower than the set target, is crimes against children, contact crimes against children, where we saw a reduction of 5.8%, but we were planning for 6.73%. We had identified three strategic partners to be concluded. Those agreements were not fully concluded, partially completed by the end of the financial year, due to restrictions as a result of COVID-19. Our policing, traditional policing concept that was to be implemented in Mpumalanga province, this was initiated, but it was not implemented in totality. If we move to Program 3, the investigation portion, the targets that we did achieve, outstanding targets, older than three years, we reduced it with 46.22%. Outstanding wanted persons for contact crimes already circulated, reduced by 31.61%. The target was 10%. Outstanding case dockets related to women older than 1 year, we reduced with 53.63%, and the target was 5%. Outstanding case dockets related to crimes against children older than 1 year, reduction 54%. Drug syndicates, we neutralized 12 out of the 17 that we've identified. Our target was 50% of those identified. Our number of arrests for illicit drugs increased by 45.90%. And then a total of 14 from a total of 28 identified organizational groups were neutralized with arrest, and that is in line with our targets. The DNA investigative leads, we reduced that outstanding ones with 70.53%. Our target was 5. DNA investigative leads, we reduced it with 55.67%. IBIS investigative leads, we reduced by 37.35%. These are all outstanding investigative leads, Honorable Chair, that were identified in the beginning of the financial year. Moving to the performance of the DPCI environment, the 72.34% of the trial-ready case dockets for serious corruption was achieved. That is against a target of 50%. In terms of serious corruption within the private sector, they achieved 78.48%. And serious corruption within the JCPS cluster, they achieved 85.15%. Still within the DPCI environment, they identified 30 clandestine laboratories, of which 27 were dismantled with arrest. That was against a target of 90%. And trial-ready case dockets for serious commercial crime, 66.09%. And as far as cyber-related investigative support files successfully investigated, they achieved 65.05%. And the result of trials, this is now within the Forensic Criminal Record Center environment, the updating of result of trials, we were targeting 95% within the prescribed 20 calendar days. There we achieved 96.71%. And as a result, or in respect of not guilty verdicts, we achieved 98.42% finalized and updated within 20 calendar days. Program 3, Chair, the areas where we did not achieve our targets, this is primarily as far as the detection rates are concerned for most of the crime categories. Contact crime, we achieved 47.43% against a target of 55%. Our detection rate for contact crime at the high crime weight stations, we achieved 33.94% against a target of 56.23%. And the reasons for not achieving the target are highlighted on the screen. The detection rate for crimes against women, we achieved 71.29%, where our target was 75.15%, and that includes the same categories of crimes. Although it's focusing on women and children, it's the same categories of crime as we monitored within the contact crime environment. The same applies to the detection rate for crimes against children, where we achieved 64.88% against a target of 70.1%. The compliance of taking buccal samples were from Schedule 8 offenders. Chair, we set the target of 60%. We achieved 43.59%. Outstanding fingerprints investigatively increased from 5.74% against the set target. We were actually targeting a reduction in the outstanding fingerprint leads, but there we experienced an increase. The routine case exhibits processed within 35 calendar days. In the fourth quarter, we have achieved 24.46% against a set target of 75%. The same applies to non-routine case exhibits, where we achieved 46.66% against a target of 70%. And our case at the end of quarter four, our backlog for case exhibits stood at 84.56% against a target of not exceeding 10%. The ballistic intelligence case exhibits was finalized. We finalized 87.27% within the prescribed 35 calendar days, and the target was in that regard is 95%. And then our DNA case exhibit entries was 8.33% in quarter four against the set target of 80% within 90 calendar days. And the reasons are quoted there, Honorable Chair, in terms of equipment machinery that was not operational, the non-availability of consumables, and the rotation of personnel. In Program 4, Chair, without going into the specific detail, we are monitoring what percentage of the intelligence reports, either proactive or reactive, are operationalized at the relevant levels. And as far as the operational or the operationalization of proactive intelligence report at district level is concerned, we achieved 93.86%. At the provincial level, we achieved 96.76% against an 80% target. And then at national level, we achieved 99.15% against a target of 90%. The reactive intelligence reports, we see the same trends. Everywhere our target was 70% for district level, 80% for provincial, and 90% for national. And there we achieved 86%, 85%, and in terms of the last one province, we had 100% achievement. Security clearances, 298 were finalized against a target of 192 for the quarter. And that specifically is 34% of the total for the year. But we, in terms of the annual result, as you will see in the graphs lower down, we did achieve the targets. A total of 777 ICT security assessments were finalized in SAFSEC against the planned 527 for the year. And that reflects 32% of the target for the year. And then 287 mandatory physical security assessments were completed against the target of 107 for the quarter. The non-achievement of targets, Chair, we planned a total of 352 network operations to be successfully terminated, and we achieved 48%, and our target was set at 61.07%. As far as the request from Interpol is concerned, our target was in terms of both the cross-border operations and the arrest and identification of transnational crime suspects. Our target is to respond to 100% of those requests. We achieved 4 out of the 5 requests for the arrest of identified criminals. That was for the cross-border operations. And we achieved 66%, 8 out of 12 arrests for identified transnational crime suspects. If we look at Program 5, Chair, this one is quite straightforward. This is the protection and security services, including presidential protection. We had no security breaches in transit and at the identified government installations. We have also audited all the identified strategic installations and the national key points that has been identified for the year. And the same applies to the presidential protection, where we had no security breaches and the identified national key points were assessed as we have targeted them. Honorable Chair, that is the brief summary of the achievements. As I indicated, when one goes lower down in the presentation, you will see the same detail for each one of these indicators, but it will provide the reader with a graph indicating what our annual targets were. And on the little robot on the left, you will see whether we achieve the target. It will be green. If not, it will be red. And you will also note the quarterly targets and the actual quarterly achievement. And where we deviated from the target, there is also a reason that has been provided. Honorable Chair, with your permission, I would like then to conclude the presentation here and hand back to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister, before I take you, could I take General Sithole? If there are any further comments you'd like to make.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, from this particular presentation, the one obvious thing is that for all those targets that has not been met, we have ordered the recovery plan so that we are then able to take a relook and give the necessary attention to those particular targets. We've also looked into the review of the deployment of resources so that we rearrange resources in such a manner that they help us with strategic deployment and we're able then to respond. But we've also then shaped ourselves for the COVID-19 effects and those targets that which are here and there affected by the COVID-19 restrictions, we are also trying to adjust and make sure then that we drive those priorities in such a manner that we're able to reach the targets. For now, Chair, this is what I can put forth, and maybe then the Deputy Minister may add more, but we will listen more to the questions and the direction of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. Deputy Minister, would you like to say something before I take questions?
No, I suggest we allow members to ask questions, Chair, and then we'll come and interact with their questions. Thanks. But that's the end of our presentation. And thanks for the opportunity to present to yourselves and the committee.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister, General Sithole and your team, for the presentations. It is not necessary for me to thank the presenter, Honourable Whitfield, because General Sithole is overall responsible for this presentation. Honourable members, I'll now take your questions. I'll take Honourable Molekwa and then Honourable Whitfield. Honourable Molekwa, you can ask your question. Honourable Molekwa, Whitfield, Shembeni, and then Peacock.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
You have one question until I take another round.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating
your video. Honourable Molekwa, your video, please.
Okay. I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation presented by the department and also congratulate the department by reducing the irregular expenditure by 100%. I also want to appreciate the department for the nearly completion of the Mabiskraal and Mwekabuma police station. I hope that in future, Makapan Stad will also be considered for renovation as is highly dilapidated. Chairperson, we have received numerous reports on the slow pace of processing of the application on the firearm. I just want to check with the department if there is any mechanism to make sure that this process has been fast-tracked because we every day we receive emails of complaint from members of the public that there is a slow pace in the processing of the firearm application. The last question that I want to check is that can the department also indicate the impact of the so-called code of silence in the SAPS on discipline management? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Molekwa asked you to ask one question.
Oh, my apology, Chairperson.
Honorable Whitfield, you may ask one question, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. From the presentation, it's now clear that our forensic services is in a state of complete collapse with declining performance across most of its indicators, Chair. And as you know, since 2019, this committee has been trying to hold the SAPS accountable for its poor performance in the forensics division, which is creating a backlog in our criminal justice system. Chairperson, the forensics division has the lowest expenditure rate in this presentation at 81%, and the reason has something to do with the integrated criminal justice system strategy and reasons for the funding not being spent. So it's clear that there is funding available, yet our DNA capability has not been restored, and the turnaround plan presented to the committee in November appears to have completely failed in spite of what the minister told Parliament earlier this year. So I would like to know what the exact reasons are for the underspending in the forensics division in terms of that integrated criminal justice strategy. Why is that funding not being redirected or utilized to support the forensics division to process DNA case exhibits, which we now believe to be over 300,000? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Whitfield. Your point is very valuable. We have had several meetings on this forensic science laboratories. The minister and the SAPS have made certain commitments. They have either misled this committee or they are failing to meet those commitments which they made. We'll have an urgent meeting again, and you are wasting our time. You send us reports and those reports do not reflect any progress on the ground. You come back to us on the forensic science laboratories next week, Tuesday, honorable members, because we are not going to be dealing with the inquiry. Next week, Tuesday, we'll deal with the all matters related to firearms, from the Central Firearm Registry to the firearm amnesty, to the breakings at police stations of firearms. The matter of firearms have really gone out of control. And likewise, the matter of the forensic science laboratories have gone out of control. There were reports that you're going to work with the CETA on those forensic science laboratories. You are still not done so. And I'm really taking serious exception to the fact that you come to this committee, you make commitments, and you fail to implement those commitments you have made. Honorable Shembeni, could you put on? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. I was also coming to the forensic science laboratory with the issue of the victims lying in mortuaries for more than 3 months to a year to 2 years. That's really, really unacceptable. Now, my question will be on the COVID-19 protocols in the police station. It seems as if these protocols are no longer followed in the police stations, looking at the number of police stations that are being closed each and every day because of the infections in the police stations. Now, my question is, how many police officers have been infected by COVID-19 up to so far? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Peacock.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, SAPS, as well as the delegations that is there today. Chairperson, my question would be, when you look at the presentation, there was the 1.1 billion that was redirected, of which it was state, it was given to other responsibilities. But now when you look on the presentation, it only states the 1.1 billion that was distributed or given to. But it does not indicate that, for instance, each and every particular subject or particular allocation that was given towards that. It does not state how much was given to each and every, how was the distribution made to each and every state that is given on the presentation. Because there, it's just stating that the 1.1 billion was redirected, but it's not clearly showing how was it allocated among the list that was given on the presentation. Because there is a list that it was distributed to what, but it does not state correctly, or it does not state the distributing amount towards that. I think for now that's the only question that I'll ask. I'll go for the second after. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peacock. Honorable Mapatsu.
Mapatsu. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mine is on the time.
Pass me your video, please.
Okay. Honorable Chair, my question is on the crime intelligence understanding. This emerged also during the KZN and Gauteng unrest. So what I would want to know, Chairperson, is that can the department provide us with a breakdown of performance in the crime intelligence operations? Because in the sub-program during 2021 of the financial year. And this continuous underspending on this sub-program has been recorded in the previous financial year, which is concerning long-term trend. And you'd remember that all over the country, there was say, where was the crime intelligence services, but we see that it is an underspend here. Can the department explain? I think it's 42.8 million that was not spent, whereas we needed boots on the ground, and there was no money for the crime intelligence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mapatsi. That is a very important question. The first is the, which I would like to add on to that, that crime intelligence has been besieged with problems and instability from the time of General, when we had Peter Jacobs, who was suspended, and then we went to court and we lost court cases. From the inception of these problems at crime intelligence, what exactly has been done to stabilize crime intelligence? The, as Honorable Mapatsu has said, crime intelligence was the weakest during the unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, and we need a clear indication of the capacity at crime intelligence. First question, the instability at crime intelligence. Secondly, the capacity at crime intelligence. We were also informed via the media that the minister did not approve of spending at crime intelligence, and now we have underspending at crime intelligence. If the minister has not approved crime intelligence and the minister is not the accounting official of SAPS, has this really been so? And why have we allowed this to happen? And now, if we have had this underspending and the minister has not approved the budget or the spending, I would like to know what has happened there. And has this further crippled the capacity at crime intelligence? My last question, while we have a clean audit this financial year, and if you do not anticipate a clean audit, could you please explain now why this is not going to happen? We are, as I said last time, we are not going to accept that this SAPS and your various entities do not have clean audits. Dipsy, whoever is Dipsy, Rechumang, can you please use your mic? You may respond.
Thank you, Chair. I will request that we allow the Commissioner and the other officials to respond to the issues raised, and then I'll come at the end through you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Chair. Would also like to extend our appreciation for the questions, comments and guidance from the honorable members. Chair, I would like to take the strategic part of the questions, and with your permission, I would then ask you also to allow the operatives, which will be starting with the Deputy National Commissioners and the specific sections, to take some of the questions. Chair, I'm going to take the first question on the slow pace of processing firearm licenses, and just indicate that in order for us to try and increase the pace, we needed to switch over to the paperless approach, which is introducing a system. I think I have recently signed off an advanced stage of the system that need to be introduced to just try and change this and help us to move that is to the paperless part of the exercise. But I think this particular exercise is being dealt with between TMS as well as CETA. So I think the operatives, more specifically General Masemula, can give more flesh to this. Then under forensic, Chair, I can just confirm that we do have the corporate renewal plan in progress, driven by the divisional commissioner. Yes, there's also a few dynamics created by the COVID, which impact on the daily targets, because we cannot make use of the full capacity. But then we are also at an advanced stage with the public-private partnership, and then to try and help us to eradicate the backlog and also start to provide a response to the new cases. But Lieutenant General Sintumule is here, and then she will also then provide more information to this. The number of infected members, I think, as up to yesterday, I think it's 38,317. But then, Chair, the response to the question is that in steering committee and is assigned in issues across the provinces nationally, and we also still issue instructions and monitor that is compliance. It is very difficult to observe the COVID-19 protocol or to comply at your heavyweight profile police stations, because the police station itself is experiencing an influx. And there are also these other functions which we are trying to shift away from the police, like the certifying of documents, where you would find that in some of the stations, they've got these 1 kilometer lines, queues where people are coming to certify documents. So we are also still trying to control that with the service delivery access strategy to make sure then that we take a lot away from certain stations and then and try to bring new police stations. The most difficult thing to do is to send members of the public back when they have serious issues, which we cannot do. But we're trying to manage the situation and just try to make sure that the COVID-19 protocols are not violated. And finally, Chair, as the Honourable Member has indicated, I think more buildings are getting affected and more frequent, and that is actually causing a little bit of disruption to the services. And it's not only police stations alone. It includes provinces, districts, and some of the national offices. I think, Chair, with your permission, maybe on the audit side, what I can only say for now is that the projections are showing and are promising that we are likely to have a clean audit. And we are trying to work hard and manage that particular process so that we move towards that. But more flesh to this shall also be given by the CFO and the team. With your permission, Chair, I can then allow the operatives, starting with the Deputy National Commissioners, to take some of the responses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sotole. Could you indicate the order of the Deputy National Commissioners as they will come?
Chair, I would recommend that the first floor be given to Lieutenant General Masemula, and then followed by Lieutenant General Vuma, then the Divisional Commissioner Forensic, the CFO, and then Supply Chain. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In that order. General Masemula, we're waiting for you, and could you switch on your video, please?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Good morning, DM and National Commissioner. The question raised by yourself, Honorable Chair, is regarding the amnesty firearms as well as the CFR matters and the firearms at police stations. We are preparing a report in that regard. Honorable Chairs, you know that we do prepare a monthly report. So the July report is due. We are just collating statistics from the system. We'll be submitting it. It will indicate how far are we in terms of our performance. The synchronization happened on the 15th. So after the 15th, like now, we are then collating those statistics. So we'll only in a few days' time, we'll only know that what is our performance, and we'll be able to send that report. Police stations, Honorable Chair, in terms of safety of firearms, we did issue directives to various provinces, to all the provinces, that we do not have to keep too many firearms in our frontline service. Only keep those minimum firearms that are required for duty by the members at that specific point in time. The police station where firearms were taken in Northern Cape, we visited it when we have seen what measures, security measures are there, and we have since improved. We are still then, as you are aware, there is a project by our supply chain regarding the issues of fencing and making police stations safe. Is a medium to long-term project which they are doing. And in terms of other safety measures of firearms at the police stations. We are also embarking on a process to look at how best can we have firearms stored at central places, not the 1,155 police stations. We are busy with that. We'll in a few days be able to indicate what measures have we found and have we put in place. We are going to reduce the storage places from 1,155 to a specific number that currently we are working on, but I'm sure in due course, very soon we'll be able to inform the committee. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
General Masimola, we will be calling on you next week, Tuesday. Those documents will be sent to the National Commissioner and the Minister to do presentations on the Central Firearm Registry, the firearms at police stations, the amnesties which you have had, because there's a huge gap and failure in the systems with regards to firearms. The Honourable Members visited the Central Firearm Registry. The progress reports which you are sending us do not indicate a sense of urgency. We are following up on all these commitments you have made. We are still receiving too many complaints about firearm applications. The Firearm Registry will be calling the Minister of Public Works to explain the situation of the building. Next week, Tuesday, the entire session will be dealing on firearms, including your proposals in the Firearm Amendment Bill. We know that the Firearm Control Act, that the amendment bill dealing with the Firearm Control Act is still at the level of the minister receiving inputs and will then go back to cabinet. The number of requests and complaints we are receiving about that Firearm Control Act has become untenable. So next week, Tuesday, we'll spend the entire portfolio committee meeting dealing with all those matters, including a presentation on what you are doing for the Firearm Control Act Amendment Bill. The political applications have to be completed today, please, Babawa. We'll send it to the House Chairperson. And the documents, could you prepare those documents in the meantime? Thank you very much for sending these documents early. I'm no longer going to be allowing late documents. If you present us your documents a day before the time, you will not be able to present those documents in the committee. So please take heed. General Sithole, if your documents are late, we are not going to allow you to present your documents in the committee. Next, General.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm a little bit having flu. General Vuma here. The Deputy Minister, as well as the National Commissioner and all colleagues. The National Commissioner has actually responded to most of my questions. I will not want to repeat them, except the one for 1.1 billion redirected, which I will request the details to be specified by the CFO, as well as the details specifics on crime intelligence. General Mohamed is here, as well as General Sintimula on the DNA. Thank you, Chairperson.
General Vuma, does crime intelligence report to you?
Honorable Chairperson, I'm just overseeing for now since our DNC has passed on up until the National Commissioner has been able to appoint another DNC. Thank you, Chairperson.
They are accounting to you. Can you please explain to me what is happening at crime intelligence, including the money which was not spent? And whether that budget was approved to be spent. They account to you. Can you please account to us?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The The non-spend of the budget, I will request General Mukhabudi to explain that. However, the budget, the current budget has already been approved by the minister for this current financial year. It has been approved. And we have also, we are currently busy with the corporate renewal strategy, where we are looking at capacity as well as looking at the processes that are currently being run at Crime Intelligence in order for us to be able to redirect the Crime Intelligence to focus on the objective of the organization, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am picking up the number of corporate renewal strategies, corporate renewal plans. You have all these plans and all these strategies, but you have very little implementation. You have a corporate renewal, a corporate plan at the forensic science laboratories, very little movement. Now you are telling me that you have a corporate renewal strategy at Crime Intelligence, very little movement. Crime Intelligence is equally in a state of chaos. Likewise, the Central Firearm Registry and your forensic science laboratories. We are embarrassed by what is happening. We have been taken to task as a committee for not fulfilling our oversight role. This is happening with a House chairperson, and this committee will not be told that we are not fulfilling our role as an oversight body. So please, you are not giving me sufficient answers. General Vuma, you have not given me sufficient answers. When the honorable members have another opportunity to ask a round of questions, if they are happy, they may be happy, but I am unhappy with the responses you are giving. The next.
Chair, thank you, Chair. Chair, can I just try to just to separate the two budgets that are running at Crime Intelligence? That the budget which is indicated here, which will be explained.
Could you give us your video, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I'm just trying to separate the two budgets. The budget which is reflected here and which will then be more clearly explained by the CFO and why not spent, it's the public funds, which form part and parcel of the open budget of the South African Police Service, and then flowing through Program 4. But the budget that the Chair has referred to, which was supposed to be signed off by the Minister, that is the Secret Service vote. And that particular vote is solely for operations which are running from the Secret Service Fund. And it is the budget that has been recently signed off. And it was solely dependent on operations which were supposed to run and capacitate both the collections and other operations, including the whole COVID environment. And then, Chair, the corporate renewal plan for CI, I just want to indicate to the Chair, because there might be other surprises coming soon again at Crime Intelligence, and it is the fact that the damage that was caused in Crime Intelligence is a long-term damage, and it comes a long way. And it starts right from the time when I also started my term. The committee would remember that we're still moving from the era where Crime Intelligence stayed for 8 years without a divisional commissioner. Even now, there's more and more investigations that are also taking place at Crime Intelligence. There might be other senior officers soon who may even get arrested. So I think the corporate renewal is dealing with a complete overhaul, of crime intelligence, which is the what is actually required at the present moment. And I have assigned the deputy commissioners to constitute a corporate committee so that they deal with the total restructuring of crime intelligence. And we need to sort out crime intelligence once and for all so that we set it free from contamination. I just want to put this forward and say there's more and more cleanup that's coming into play at crime intelligence. And we are moving towards a point where this particular division must be totally cleared. Thank you, Chair. They may proceed, Chair, with your permission. I think both Lieutenant General Sintumule and Matagat.
General Sithole, before the next general moves on, you are saying that the Secret Service vote is on operations and it was only recently signed off. How long has it been taking you to have this signed off? Because you're saying it was only recently signed off. And then if it was not signed off, does this mean that your operations have come to a standstill?
Yeah, Chair, each and every year, there's a budget, this budget for operations from the Secret Service fund. We get a process in place with Treasury to get voted funds to be signed off for the Secret Service. We then apply, put a motivation, which is endorsed by the minister, for approval by the president. And only then we can start using those funds to enhance the operational process in the Secret Service environment. This year, because we start the process before the end of the financial year, so that come the beginning of the financial year we're ready. So I think I made a submission of this by December last year and signed off. But I think in March the minister indicated that we needed to have a discussion because there's things that needed to be cleared. And then from there we moved towards that particular discussion. But when we're supposed to discuss, then there was still no readiness and there were other pressures which forced the postponement of the meeting and CCC issues, and I'm sure the others were National Security Council. And then up until recently, when we had the opportunity to meet, and after we met, everything that was supposed to be cleared was then cleared. Then the budget was signed off. But it's signed off each and every year. Before it is signed off by the president, we cannot proceed to spend. So that's the explanation of this budget, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. Next. Who's next?
Chairperson, this is Major General Leslie Madsen from Division Detective and Forensic Service, senior officers and honorable members. I'm standing in for Lieutenant General Sintumule, who is unable to attend the meeting due to medical reasons. If I can just give a brief feedback on the questions raised at Forensic Science. Chairperson, the statistics provided in the forum was applicable to last year and the end of the financial year. Now, the action plans that were put into place, I think its full effect or impact did not show, doesn't show in those figures. What we do have is that, my apology, what we do see in the figures for this year, for this financial year, is that there has been a decrease in the backlog due to procurement measures that is, or procurement issues that has been resolved, as well as certain additional management measures that were put in place, whereby the performance are monitored and feedback is being provided to the National Commission as well as to the Minister on a regular basis. For example, the backlog in ring fence cases with certain cases were identified to be finalized. That backlog has been reduced by 13,000 already. So there is movement on that. Permission then to be able to provide you on Tuesday with full detail of the impact of the measures that has already been taken to address the situation at Forensic Science.
Thank you very much, Major General Maxson. Next week, Tuesday, we expect a thorough report with up-to-date information. We'd like to know a breakdown of how many rape cases have not been attended to, how many murder cases have not been attended to, how many bodies cannot be buried and for how long those bodies could not be buried. The situation has not improved at the rate that we expected it to improve. The situation has not improved according to your very same corporate plan. You present this committee with corporate plans and talk shows. We have had enough of talk shows. We want exact statistics. We want to know, as the Honourable Member said, how many bodies we have in mortuaries that cannot be buried because of the problems at the forensic science laboratories. Every day we see media reports on families crying because they cannot bury their loved ones. It's insensitive and it's inhumane and will no longer be tolerated. Every day we receive reports of rape victims who have been waiting for 3 years. Their cases have been thrown out of court because you have not done your work at the forensic science laboratories. Honorable Mapatso will tell you in the WIPRI meeting, we were taken to task for not doing our oversight work. In my meeting with the House Chair and all the chairs, we were embarrassed as the police committee because we cannot give responses on the forensic science laboratories and the Central Firearm Registry. So we no longer want to hear about your corporate plans and your corporate renewal strategies and that you have addressed 3,000 or 13,000 of the backlog. We want to know that you have addressed the backlog, not that there's improvement. When are you going to address the backlog? You are not telling me this. The next general could continue, please.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, and all other generals. I'll just respond to the our understanding on the open account budget that has been mentioned. It's only on because we couldn't travel during the hard lockdown in the past 6 months of the financial year. As well as training couldn't take place and the budget couldn't be spent on training as was planned. Suppliers were closed also for us to be able to procure from their budget. As well as lastly, our colleagues that are in abroad in the missions could also not travel as they have to also travel to come back to the country at certain points because the borders were closed. So that is mainly what impacted on us having the understanding. The National Commissioner has explained the operational part of the budget is mainly coming from the Secret Services account. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Mohabudi. The next.
Thank you, Chairperson. There is one question that is remaining in relation to the funding that was reprioritized. We just wanted to respond in this particular fashion, Chairperson. We were requested to reprioritize funding towards a COVID-19 response from the baseline, and this particular reprioritization of funding mainly affected COVID program 2, where we had then RIPRAF has funding to deal with the response plan in the main procurement of PPEs over time to operations at level 4 and 5 at the time, as well as all other needs that we required to ensure that they are available or they are met for us to respond accordingly in terms of COVID-19. And this reprioritization of funding affected only program 2, or the funding was put under program 2 while we were waiting for budget adjustment from National Treasury. So it only affected program 2 in this particular regard. The issue of understanding for CI has been addressed, Chair, and also to note that the baseline allocation for forensic services was adjusted, and this is being maintained to ensure that we fund the items that were previously procured from the criminal justice system plan funding, for which provision was made in this particular regard. So that particular funding is being maintained. The baseline has been adjusted accordingly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant General Dimpani. Next.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Minister. I was asking that maybe General Dimpani talk to the issue of the likely audit outcomes, even though the Commissioner touched on them. I thought it would be appropriate if she can also talk to that.
General Dimpani, and then I'll also ask General Reed. General Dimpani.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. After this committee at 2 o'clock, we are having a meeting with the Auditor General. They are going to be discussing the report. As of last year, we had a major issue that had cost the department a qualification. We have dealt with that particular issue. We are projecting that it will be resolved. It will not be an issue. So this afternoon, AG will be discussing or releasing the report to the department. We did fairly well, but I will, with permission, Chair, that we await the release of the report this afternoon, and then we could then communicate the outcome of that particular report. However, the matter that was besieging in the department last year, that particular matter has been resolved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant General Dimpani. Honourable Shembeni and Honourable Whitfield, could you please switch off your mics? General Reed, would you like to come in, or are you covered?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the Member of Parliament, as well as the Deputy National Commissioner. The National Commissioner, Deputy Minister, and all the senior officers present. Thank you, Chair. The only issue that I want to comment on is to talk about the police stations. Honourable Molekwa was indicating about Mabiskral and Makavuma, of which is, she was correct to say that we are nearing to completion. We have just got two items that need to be solved, is the mechanical and electrical engineers, which is going to be appointed or awarded this week, so that we can ensure that we can complete our stations before the end of the financial year. So, Chair, with this particular police station will definitely be completed this particular financial year. And I've taken note about Makapa Anstatt, of which I'm going to give my attention to it as being presented in this meeting. And Chairperson, with regard to the audit outcome, I think General Dimpani was quite correct. We're going to have a meeting this afternoon. But based on the discussion that we had with the AG, there's a significant improvement in the supply chain management, this particular auditing of supply chain management. Although I'm not sure what will the outcome be this afternoon. We'll just wait. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General Reed. Next.
I think that was the last of the operatives, unless if I'm mistaken, National Commissioner.
I'm giving you an opportunity because
okay,
there are further responses, but you have adequately responded to the questions which were asked. General Sithole?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think, Chair, these are the responses that we are giving we have taken serious note, Chair, of the fact that all the corporate renewal plans and so yes, Chair.
General Sotole, I respect you, but respectfully, every time you come to my committee, you have network challenges. Can you please, you are the most senior police. Now, if they cannot sort out your network challenges, I take strong exception. Can you please tell your IT people to sort out your network challenges? It's not the first time it happens. You may continue, General Sotole.
Thank you very much, Chair. Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, I think we have taken serious note of the fact that the committee is expecting results out of the various corporate renewal plans and not necessarily us coming to spell out the plans. We are going to strengthen the monitoring so that we are able to give tangible reports. But over and above that, we are also going to intensify accountability, which will include a part and parcel of performance and consequence management in order to make sure that people will pull up their swords. So thank you very much, Chair. I think that's what we're going to put in place for now.
General Sotole and all the generals, you have noticed that I am not going to be tolerating these slideshows you give us. And these slideshows do not give me an adequate indication of what is happening on the ground. The committee went for oversight visits to the forensic science laboratories. The committee went for an oversight visit to the Central Firearm Registry. If we do not receive results, it means that it's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and I am then told and held accountable by the chief whip and the house chairperson. We as a committee are then held accountable that our oversight visits do not provide or deliver any outcomes. It does not provide direction to SAPS, and it does not deliver any fruitful outcomes. I will now take another round of questions. I see three hands. I think those are still old hands.
Chair?
Yes, DM?
Yeah, I just thought I should make a brief comment, if you may allow me.
You may, DM.
Thanks very much, Chair. I thought I should comment, Chair, to start with what you have just said here now, that it seems like your oversight and your interaction with us is not yielding fruit. I will say it does, Chair, because based on the interactions that we have had with you, we have embarked on a process to ensure that the things that you have raised are attended to. For instance, the issue of the building, where currently the firearms are being attended from. We are interacting with Public Works, I think a week back or two weeks back, yeah, if I may be correct. We had a meeting at Telkom Towers, where we were, which was a follow-up to other meetings that we have been having with them to pressurize them to complete those offices, because a part of the firearm should go into one of the wings there, which is meant for them.
And this issue that we are raising here, that COVID-19 has had an impact on the three quotas that we are presenting to you, is real. And it is not only on the three quotas that we are talking about here today, but also what we are going to present to you affecting the current period where we are in. As I said, that 2 weeks back, we went to Telkom Towers to go and get an update in terms of the progress that Public Works and the DBSA have made with regard to that office. While we were there, we did our work, we came back, but after that, we learned that people who were at that with us at that site inspection have tested positive, which means work must stop for purposes of decontaminating the area. And people who were there, they must go into self-quarantine or into isolation, meaning they won't be going to work. So this is real. And I think when we talk about, I think it's Honorable Shembeni, about police stations that get affected and the COVID protocols. When you close them, you literally close them for them to be decontaminated. So it means they can't open, it can't be worked. So it's real. It has an impact, and it has a bearing. We have experienced this. But we also appreciate and understand where the committee comes from with the questions that you are raising with us, not only the committee, but South Africans at large, the concerns that they have. They want to get the service. They are less interested in the what happened in SARS. When we came, there was this problem. They are less interested in that. They want to know, they want to get the service now, today, here. And we understand that, and we appreciate it. And we will never interact with yourselves in a manner that suggests that from ourselves we just want to present, allow you to talk. When you finish raising your questions, we just come and talk a lot of English and go away. No, we take what you are saying very seriously. And the issues that you have identified and raised, these are issues that we have also observed. We came here knowing that, for example, on the 81% expenditure, you are not going to pat us at the back and say, "Ah, no, you have tried, we have tried." You are going to raise exactly the issues that you are raising with us. And we are happy that you are directing, Chair, that next week, let's have a detailed discussion around this. The DNA, the issues of firearm control, the amnesty, and I think the comments that General Masemola made and the comments that Major General Maxson have raised around the DNA. We need to come and present a report that says this is where we were. Since the implementation of the strategy, this is what we're able to do. But despite the fact that we're able to process this number of DNA, so much came into the system, which then makes it appear like there was no movement, despite the fact that, yes, there was a movement, but the movement against the challenges does not show that, yes, there was a movement, even though there was. And I think we should be able to present this to yourselves with regards to the things that we are doing around the two areas. It's a concern on us, and it's a concern that is shared by both the minister, the ministry, and the leadership of the South African police led by General Sithole. And we are committed to ensure that we make an improvement, and we don't like it to come to you and explain ourselves. You must see the work that we are doing and you'll be satisfied with that. I thought, Chair, it will be important that one should make this broad statement, because it must not be like we are sitting and not doing anything. The issues that impact on the police, the issues that General Stolle outlined around crime intelligence, is real, it's true. There were these issues, and that if you have an 8 years period without leadership, definitely it will have a bearing. But we are committed, and I think there is willingness to ensure that this becomes the past. But I think it is also important that committee members must really appreciate the institution called the South African Police, what it is and what it has been, and what we are currently trying to do to ensure that it becomes a well-oiled machinery and we are able to deliver on the mandate that has been bestowed on the service by the Constitution and the people of South Africa. It's not going to be easy, but we are committed to make a difference. And indeed, I think let's agree with the comment of General Dimpani and General Reed, that let's allow the interaction this afternoon, which will then indicate what type of an audit outcome we are going to get. But it's true that there have been an improvement from what we presented last year and what will come out this year around. And we did make this commitment to yourselves, Chair, when we appeared before you, that yes, what the audit outcome is not something that we are proud about, but we are committed to work and improve the workings of our system so that we have got a better outcome. And I think the officers have aptly explained that yes, there is an improvement from what was there last year. What was a challenge has been addressed, but we will have to await that interface and come back to you to demonstrate that yes, indeed, there is a difference between yesterday and today. Thanks very much, Chair, for the opportunity to respond and comment on the questions that members have raised.
Thank you very much, DM. I'm going to take another round of questions. DM and General Stolle and whoever is working with the Central Firearm Registry and the Firearm Amnesty, what was the end of the closing date for the last firearm amnesty? Now, since the last firearm amnesty up until today, there is no amnesty. So what is happening what is happening now? We have a vacuum. You send me reports, but you have not told me what has happened between the last amnesty and today. Are we sitting all those people who have not handed in their firearms for the amnesty? Do they now have illegal firearms? There's a huge vacuum. There's a huge problem. I received the firearms, Central Firearm Registry, and your firearm amnesties are not working. Next week, can you please tell me what is happening from the last, when you had the end of the amnesty and the vacuum which you have created between the last date and today? We have no idea what is happening. And people, the public is asking questions. They have no response from you. You send us monthly reports. I read those monthly reports, but they've done nothing for the vacuum which was created between the last amnesty and today. How many months have we had since the end of the last amnesty and today, which is the 18th of August? What was the last date of our amnesty? Nothing has happened. No explanations, but you send me monthly reports. I'm going to take another set of hands. Honorable Shembeni, Mapatswe, Whitfield, Peacock, and Moss, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine now is about the compensation of employees. I just want to quickly find out from the National Commissioner or the Deputy Minister, since he's there, the what is called the deferment. That is the deferment date of retirement. That I've seen there is or there are applications for dates to be extended whereby a member has reached her 6 years or whatever years of pension. What is the requirement of the approval of the extension of these dates? Don't we need the approval of members that we need in the SNPS for their services or whatever? If that is what we need, what is the reason of the approval of a member of the union to continue rendering his or her services in the SAPS? Why must we approve his application for deferment? And then with those senior positions, I once spoke to certain senior management officers to say, why are these positions not being held on contract? So that when a person needs to continue with his rank or whatever in those senior ranks, like the major generals, lieutenant generals, because I think these are the DDGs, but this, it seems, it only applies to the national commissioner who is given a certain years in that rank, that after these years he must retire or whatever, then another person is going to be appointed. Why are these other senior members in their positions not held on contracts so that they can also be held accountable? If they are by, they will tell the committee or whoever that the reasons, what you have been doing, we want to see the results. What have you been doing? Tell us, why must we keep you in this post? Because what is happening that in South Africa now we have such crimes is that people are not held accountable. He becomes a station commissioner for the rest of his life or her life in that area, and nothing happens. Whether he's performing or he's underperforming or what, nothing happens. So I think that these positions, these senior levels, they must be on contract so that we can have applications for those posts that people are sitting there for life, not doing anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Mapatswe.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to make one comment first, Chair, that indeed the department the department appeared before us. The DM presented a program of action on how they are going to deal with the supply chain management, because it was highly contaminated. And I think we do appreciate where there is progress, but where there are challenges, we will raise. I don't want to go back to you, Chair, that the issue of the laboratory forensic, it's an issue that I don't know what to call it, because every day it's in the media. You know, when you present next week, I think it's fine. But my question, Chair, is that during 2021, the report states 666 staff members were appointed by the department, which were reenlistment of the police members.
can the department provide a breakdown of the re-enlisted police members, including the divisions and ranks? And lastly, the department can also indicate when the re-enlistment drive was initiated and the successes thereof. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mapatsi, Honorable Whitfield.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Firstly, thank you to you for your clear direction with respect to next week's meetings. I think that we will all welcome a detailed feedback from Forensics Division in respect of the backlog across all the categories. But Chairperson, your line of questioning to the National Police Commissioner has elicited a very interesting response in respect of the Secret Service Fund or budget. So I'd just like to take his response further and get specific clarity as to on which date did the minister approve that budget. If it was done recently, that's great, but on what date was that actually done? I think this is very important information, Chairperson, considering the events of the past month. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. Could we not only understand on which date the minister signed, but how long this budget took for the minister to sign off? When was it sent to the minister and when was it signed off? What were the dates when we approved? Could you start from when you requested the minister to sign and when it was finally signed off? Thank you very much. Honorable Shembeni, you have said yours. You can lower your hand. Honorable Whitfield, you have stated your question. You can lower your hand. Honorable Peacock and then Honorable Moss.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question would be related to the PPEs. I think as a committee, we need to get a comprehensive report on the status of investigations into the PPEs procurement, as well as the corruption and what were the preventative steps taken in order to deal with that, as well as the remedial action on that. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock. Honorable Moss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is about the issue of the topic we discussed yesterday, iPad. And the issue that I want to raise is the issue of the recommendations of iPad that the subs not be implemented on the issue of the discipline implementation, and also is there a cooperation between subs and IPAD? And if so, why they not implement the recommendation of IPAD as subs? So that then actually let me raise that question. The second question that I also want to raise on the same issue of IPAD with subs is the issue of discipline officers. Are they be proper trained? And if so, why not? So that we can have progress as the police committee, because this issue of iPad and subs is not moving forward, Chairperson. And lastly, Chair, you said we mustn't ask a lot of questions. The issue of on the 10th of March, we're dealing on the issue of the DNA and also about the procurement. Is there proper procurement processes now in place on the issue of the issue of supply chain? Because last time they said it must be fixed. And is it be fixed?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Moss. You really now, you took advantage of me today. But because you didn't ask a question in the last round, I allowed you to ask another question. So please please don't take advantage of me in the future. Agreed? Could I have an indication, General Sithole? You have an opportunity to respond to this round of questions. Honourable Peacock and Moss, lower your hands, please.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. And again, acknowledging the questions and guidance with appreciation. Chair, as usual, I'm going to take the strategic part of the question and then the operatives are going to follow after me. As per our request, that will indicate to you. Chair, the first question I'm going to take is the one on the deferments. Firstly, I would like to explain, as per both the Constitution and as well as the Police Act, that the contract post in the subs at the present moment, as per that legislative direction, is the post of the National Commissioner as well as those of provincial commissioners. All of them are on a 5-year contract post. Then the rest of the other posts that are not necessarily clearly or reflected in the Constitution and the Act, like, for instance, Deputy National Commissioners, are not provided for in the Constitution, and the divisional commissioners. All those particular posts, although they are senior posts at DDG level, but they are not bound to a contract. The view expressed by the Honourable Member, I think from my own point of view, I do support it and say, maybe both the committee, including the ministry, may then assist us to start a policy and legislative directed process, which may then bring these posts within the contract fraternity. But as for now, we may not just be able. And the reasons for deferment of posts, they are informed by the organizational status. Like, for instance, firstly, if we look at crime detection, there's a depletion of experience. So if there's any retirement and there's an application for deferment, our consideration for that is very high and is given a priority because of the depletion of experience in that particular environment. But secondly, there's also a succession plan requirement. When we also look at the succession plan projections, they also guide us where we must try to retain the experience or maybe even capacity. So these are the factors that are driving this particular point at the moment, but we support a future consideration if the committee is suggesting that we take that direction. Chair, the signing of the crime intelligence budget happened on the 9th of, I think the initial submission we submitted on the 9th of December, 2020. And it has been signed off. It was signed off by the minister on the 2nd of August. So then, Chair, the PPEs, I think there's two sets of PPEs. There are those PPEs which were procured from the open budget through the supply chain management process. And an inquiry process is lying with the Fusion Center. That's where the Fusion Center initiated investigations. And the Fusion Center, the committee would understand the combination of the investigation families and DPCI is one of our investigation family that form part of that family. Then the second set is the one that happened within SCI, which firstly is being investigated by the IG. And from the preliminary investigation by the IG, we then took a departmental action up to this far. So I think that is the response and the action taken on PPEs. But further to that, we have strengthened risk management controls within both the supply chain and financial environment with regard to the procurement process of the PPEs. Then, Chair, the cooperation between IP as well as SABS. Maybe firstly, what I may like to clear, Chair, is the fact that the recommendations by IP were attended to as per our report, which has also been confirmed by IP. The difference is the outcome. I think the outcomes may not have been what is being expected. But again, at the same time, our relationship and cooperation, I think, will always be at average or even at times above. We are not differing, and we do not have any disputes. But it is a need for us to enhance the process because we have pointed out that as we're going forward, there's a more and more need for us to reconcile the IP Act with the regulations, including the Labor Relations Act, and that can help us to enhance the process. But some of the hiccups, they are actually based on the legislation and more specifically also the regulations. So that is a future process that we both actually are looking at. Discipline, training of discipline officers, there is a curriculum for the training of discipline officers with training and development. They are all taken through that particular training. The only difference here, Chair, is that discipline officers are not necessarily independent of they are part of the policing system, and we make use of officers and that is sometimes seen as not necessarily independent or impartial, but there is a training and development program, and they are trained, taken through training. But I think HRP can provide more flesh to this. The fixing of the procurement process here, Chair, I'm glad because I may not speak about the corporate renewal strategy, but rather the outcome thereof, and begin to say within a supply chain or within the procurement environment, firstly, we have appointed the contract management committee, which is sitting and looking at contracts in a very constant, on a very constant basis. And also developed before their date of expiry, but they are also looking at the performance of contracts and value adding to the organization and the impact of contract. And then we have also looked into the restructuring of supply chain, trying to make sure that we get the right people at the right place in order to deal with the what is then anticipated in order for us to have a clean procurement administration We reviewed the procurement strategy. And finally, Chair, we also ordered a cleanup campaign, and the action has been on the wall. We can't talk about theory here. There's quite a lot of members, more than 50 arrested, and there's several actions on others fired, and most are also under internal investigations and criminal investigations. So I think we send the message here is clear. Okay, I think I can take up to this far in terms of my response. I can then, with your permission, Chair, ask Lieutenant General Vuma to add comment and the Lieutenant General Reed and the maybe CI can make another comment. Thank you, Chair, with your permission.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. General Vuma, please don't tell me that you are just exercising oversight. You are not taking your responsibility very seriously. If you are exercising oversight, you have to respond to this committee, to its questions. The National Commissioner says that you applied to the Minister on the 9th of December 2020. You applied. It was approved on the 2nd of August 2021. It means that the Secret Service Fund was inactive or wasn't spent for 8 months. How has this impacted on your operations? This is alarming, totally alarming. The next one I'd like to know is that when did the court decide that the IPED Act had to be amended? When did the committee decide that the IPED Act has to be amended? We are going to be looking at the budget briefing on IPED on Wednesday. So you have to explain to us when the court took an order and why you are failing to implement court orders. Now, all these court orders and all the court decisions which have not been implemented by SEP will be listed by this committee in public. You are in contravention of court orders. You cannot be implementing the law when you are not abiding with the law. IPED was started on the basis and on the principle that the police cannot investigate themselves. This was a court order with a McBride. There was a McBride judgment. When we appointed the executive director of IPED, we took this decision. The executive director of IPED is in a position for more than a year now. Are you telling me that you've ignored the decision taken by this committee for more than a year? So this committee is coming here and really we are talking, we are having talk shows and we are having slideshows. General Vuma, can you please explain to me? You applied for the Secret Service Fund on the 9th of December. It was approved on the 2nd of August. When you people are reporting to you, you take responsibility for what has happened before you and what is happening now. Because crime intelligence had massive loopholes when we had the unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. Then we have to understand as a committee what has happened in crime intelligence. Present to us that for 8 months there were no operations because there was no budget, so how did you have operations? Lieutenant General Labia is also raising his hand. The system, I don't know if the system is disabled or what is happening. Can I first have General Sithole, can you indicate, you said General Vuma will come in. I'll also give Lieutenant General Labia an opportunity. General Vuma.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the marching orders. I just want to apologize if I sounded as if I don't want to take responsibility for this environment. That was not the impression, Chairperson. It's just that I was alluding to the fact that most of the questions were answered by the National Commissioner. So it is true indeed that when I'm overseeing, I must take responsibility for the entire environment, which when I took the responsibility, Chairperson, I did realize that we have this issue where the budget for the Secret Service account has not yet been approved. And I had an engagement with the National Commissioner to highlight that when in the very first week when I was given this responsibility, I sat with General Mukhaburi, and she explained to me that they are only left with 10 million. If by end of August the money has not yet been approved, they will be running into a risk of having to sit without the budget to fund the operations. Hence, we requested the meeting with the minister, and the budget was sent. Some of these questions have already been answered by the chairperson, but in order for me not to really waste time of the committee, the National Commissioner has answered all the questions fully, with your permission, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Very much. General Bia, and then Major General Rabi, I see your hand up as well.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning, Honorable members, the Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, and my colleagues. I'm raising a hand just to also come in on the question that has been raised by the Honorable Mr. Shembeni with regard to the posts that are on contract basis. I have taken note of the response from the National Commissioner, which have talked to the greater service, where the National Commissioner and the Provincial Commissioners are appointed on contract basis. I also needed to then add on the DPCI. It will be noted, Honorable Members, that in 2009, when the Act was passed, certain posts were not on contract basis, were on permanent basis, like the head of the DPCI would have been the Deputy National Commissioner. In 2012, the law was changed such that then the head of the Hawks changed to become the national head of the DPCI, which is no longer the Deputy National Commissioner. And that post became an appointment on contract basis. The same applied to the then post of Deputy National Head, which was also created to be on contract basis. That also extended to the post of Provincial Heads of the DPCI, which are no longer the Deputy Provincial Commissioners, but they are the Provincial Heads for the DPCI, which are appointed on contract basis. So I needed to bring that clarity and also highlight that we are also still looking at how can the legislation be improved so that it doesn't disadvantage those who have been appointed on contract basis, but at the same time, the period that they are being appointed in, they can't be accommodated in the government employee pension fund to be on retirement. But that is something that we are working on. So I just needed to clarify that point, Honorable Chairperson, that there are these contractual appointments also in the DPCI. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much for that clarity, General Abia. Major General Rabi, would you like to come in?
I would say thank you for the opportunity, ma'am. I must just apologize. I had some difficulty to get my hand up in the previous round. As far as the issues around the audit outcome is concerned, there is a third dimension to the audit that relates to performance information. I just want to inform the committee that I will also be forming part of that briefing this afternoon to get the indication of the audit outcome, and following that, we can brief the committee. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, General Reed. We have seen some improvements. General Rabi, then National Commissioner, Deputy Minister, will await the outcomes after you've met with the Auditor General. I don't think that it will be public, but certainly I hope that you will inform me what has happened. Honourable members, could we agree on the following? That next week, Tuesday, we want to report on the Central Firearm Registry, the firearm amnesties, and the theft of firearms at police stations. And then a report on the forensic science laboratories. And you are not going to tell me that you have a corporate plan. You're not going to tell me that you're addressing the backlogs and new cases are coming in. If new cases are coming in and you're addressing the backlog, but you remain with the backlog, there's something very, very wrong with your mathematical calculations. Your corporate plan is thus not working. We don't want to come and listen to, next week I'm not listening to corporate plans. If your new cases compound the problem, it means you are not solving the problem. On Wednesday, we'll be having the briefing on IPED. Could you tell me when the court decision was taken on the IPED Act to amend it? How far you've come with the amendment of the IPED Act? I would like to know when that court decision was taken. Could we write to the Minister, Dr. Kenneth Sambabawa? Could we write to the Minister and the National Commissioner for them to come and explain when the court decision was taken? What they've done subsequently, when the committee took a decision to amend the IPED Act, and what they have done subsequently. Could we also write a letter to the minister to explain why on the 9th of December 2020 they applied for the Secret Service vote to be approved, and why it was only approved 8 months later, which was on the 2nd of August 2020. 2021, took you 8 months to do so. So, honourable members, if you have further questions, if you feel that your questions have not been responded to, please raise your hands.
Chair, there was an issue that was raised by Honourable Mapaso, if you may allow. I'm not sure whether it was responded to on the staff appointment and the reenlistment and the reenlistment and the 666 staff that he raised. I'm not sure. I might not have read it properly when they responded. I'm not. It was responded to.
I agree that it was not responded to. That is why I gave the members an opportunity to indicate if their questions were not responded to. Honourable Shembeni, do you also feel that your question was not responded to? Honourable Shembeni?
That's correct, Chair. The issue of the recent approval by the minister or whoever of an application of deferment by a member of the Union Pop Group. I did not get the answer. Why was that application approved? Because he's a full-time member of the union. He does not help us in the SAPS, so no experience is he bringing. Why was the application approved? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could we have responses to those two questions, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, I will take a preliminary response on the approval of the deferment for the member of the union, and Lieutenant General Zia will come in to fill also on the other part of the HR response question. I think the first thing, Chair, I would like to explain is that full-time shop stewards posts are an official part of the SARS establishment. And those particular posts, they are also subject to their own profile and also requirement. So anything else that applies to any is also applicable to labor relations. We do have a labor relations framework, which has got specific objectives of creating a sound labor relations in the organization. And we are working together on that with the union. So those posts are actually part of the establishment. And they are also given equal priority like other posts. So the approval of the deferment of the member of POP Group, which I wouldn't necessarily like to speak about the member of the organization, but rather the function, the experience and continuity of labor relations, creating a sound labor relations in the organization, was one of the needs applied in order to retain that experience. Thank you very much, Chair. And then with your permission, the President and Zia can expand and also provide the breakdown of the 600, the enlistment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, the Deputy Minister of Police, National Commissioner, the National Head of the DPCI, all the DMCs, and all my colleagues. Chairperson, I think on the question of deferment, the National Commissioner has responded to it. I can just indicate also to add that the National Office Bearers of the Unions or the full-time shop stewards, they are still members of the SAPS. And in terms of the SAPS Act, Section 45(7) of the SAPS Act, it also allows them to apply for deferment if they wish to continue with their services. And there are conditions specified in the Act itself. And it says that for a member to be retained, it must be reasonable in the interest of the service or generally in the interest of the public. So whenever we receive this kind of applications, Chairperson, we do assess the motivation, the application against these conditions that are specified in the Act. And a recommendation is made to the minister and for the minister to take that decision, Chairperson. So there are still members of the service, and their application should be considered and be entertained like any other application of a member who is in at the station. Just to add on that one. Then secondly, Chair, in terms of the question that was raised by Honorable Mapaswe on the re-enlistment, I can confirm, Chairperson, that we have advertised 500 posts for re-enlistment. We have currently appointed 277 of the 500. We are finalizing the project with the 81. Other posts are going to be withdrawn because those applicants, they were rejected or they didn't meet the requirements. So we believe, Chair, that by the end of this month, the 1st of September, we will be finalizing the 81 because some of them we do send them for medical assessments and some do not make it at the medical assessment. But I can confirm that more than 50% have been appointed. They have already started working. That is 277, and the outstanding is 81, and the rest are going to be withdrawn. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. This takes care of our questions. I'm not going to take another round of questions. We'll be interrogating. We take questions. We don't receive responses. I'm not going to allow Deputy Minister any explanations and thank you and whatever salutations. Honourable Deputy Minister, and Honorable National Commissioner. This committee asked questions on the 15th of May 2021. We asked questions. You responded to those questions yesterday, the 17th of August. I received your responses today. It has taken you 3 months to respond to questions by this committee. These are your written responses, and I can now understand why the members of this committee have no faith in your written responses. We have no confidence in your written responses because it takes you 3 months to give us written responses. We have it on record. In your letter, you are saying that these are your responses to the questions we asked on the 15th of May. Deputy Minister, it's a disgrace if it takes you 3 months to respond to questions of the committee. Dr. Guinness and my admin staff, could you please prepare a letter for me to General Sithole, a letter to the Minister, a letter to the House Chairperson, and a letter to Speaker complaining that it takes SAPs 3 months to respond to questions of this committee. I take strong exception to the fact that we do not receive responses. We do not receive your presentations. I repeat, next week we'll be dealing with the Central Firearm Registry, the amnesty reports, the theft at police firearms, at police stations, the forensic science laboratories. We'll be dealing with a briefing by IPED. Please do not simply give me a rundown and a slideshow. Give me responses to the questions we have asked on IPED. There were questions we asked yesterday on IPED. I want a thorough report on IPED, and I want a thorough report on the civilian secretariat, including those acts which we requested them to amend. On top of your agenda, civilian secretariat, can you tell me what you did with the IPED Act, which you were supposed to amend, what you have done, how far you are? You will respond to us next week, Wednesday. You will respond on the IPED Act when the court judgment was handed to you. When this committee requested that the IPED Act be amended, and why it has taken you so long to start working on the amendment of the IPED Act. You may be quite far with the amendment, but please give us a report. If you have not started amending the IPED Act, could you explain to the committee why you have not started amending the IPED Act? Honorable members, that takes care of the business of today. You will be called. Your next meeting is at Tuesday, the 24th of August at 9 a.m. I do not expect you to write me messages about what time the meeting starts. I'm not your secretary. So please stop asking me what time the meeting starts. The meeting will start on Tuesday at 9 o'clock and Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We have a meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Please do not ask me about a meeting on Tuesday which has been postponed. No meetings have been postponed. The Tuesday meeting continues. So Tuesday's meeting, I explicitly explained to you. Members, you do not read, so I'm going to be treating this as an official announcement, and the times have been communicated to you officially. Babawa will send you a follow-up with a message and an email. Saps, can you please have my documents on the Central Firearm Registry and the amnesty reports, as well as the forensic science laboratories? We have from today until Friday to give me those reports. The meeting will start on Tuesday. We would like to have your reports by Friday. Babawa, can you follow up with a letter? Because they don't seem to listen to what happens in this committee. I'll take that as a conclusion of this meeting. We'll convene on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, honorable generals, for your responses. And Deputy Minister, General Sithole, General Lebia, thank you very much, honorable members. And thank you to the staff for being so patient. We know this committee has been giving us really Honorable Shembeni has apologized because he did receive the document. Members, please, if you are having more than one email address, don't keep us accountable and don't question us on why you have not received your documents. Please read your emails if you have two email addresses. It's really becoming unacceptable now. You complain about everything the chairperson does. We work, we really work overtime to ensure that you are happy, but then you still do not read your emails and you come here and accuse us of not sending you the emails, when in fact you do have two emails and you don't read your emails. So with that, you are on television, and I've said this on television, you are recorded and let it be so recorded. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The staff, could you stay behind?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
How very strictly, Chairperson. I'm class.
Honorable Moss, thank you very much. Staff, could you please remain behind?
Yes, sir.
The rest you can leave. Thank you, General Rick. Thank you, General Labia. The rest you can leave. I just need to stop. Thank you, General Labia.
We are human beings. Don't forget. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabriendi, but please leave your read your emails and come back and apologize. Thank you for your apology.
I did, Chair. I just made it.
Thank you for your apology.
Thank you.
Could I have the staff, the rest of you could exit now? You can leave the meeting.